If you got your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew's Gospel chapter number 5. We'll take you right into the heart of the Sermon on the Mount tonight. This passage of Scripture has really been working on my soul, and I want to share it with you tonight. Before I do, I want to have special prayer. I want to pray for Sister Leah Strope. Now, she's going to have surgery, and correct me, Brian, if I'm right, on the 29th. Got a lot going on down there this week with her, and they need a lot of prayer. That hurricane also is coming up that way. Pray for protection for that whole state, and plus Leah and what she's going through. And Miss Leah, if you're listening to us today and right now, I want you to know I love you, and before I get into my message, I want to pray for you. Our Father, I want to pray for this wonderful young lady. Lord, she loves you. Got a call into the mission field years ago. She works hard in the church, labors in the highways and hedges. Got a heart for God. Lord, in these last years, she's went through multiple surgeries. A difficult time with that leg. I pray that you'll touch them and guide the surgeon this week. Help everything go smoothly. Lord, you know your will for her life, and you know, I just pray you'll touch her leg. And Lord, I pray for the whole state of Florida and that area in the south about this hurricane. God, do spare life. Touch them. Help us to be in much prayer for them. God, now bless this message. Help me to preach with intensity, with power, with unction, to function. I can't do anything without you, sweet Holy Spirit. I am right now yielding myself to you, asking you and begging you to use this vessel. Cleanse me from sin. Purify me. Help me to be that example I need to be. And help me in this great portion of Scripture to be able to preach it thoroughly and accurately and intensely. And Lord, we'll praise you in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Once you turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 5, go down to verse 38. And I'll go down to verse 41. And verse 41 will be my thought tonight. Now, I know the context of Matthew, the structure of Matthew, who whose gospel was the immediate context, but the application that we can get from this passage of Scripture is verified in other passages of Scripture in the Word of God and in the New Testament. Look at what the Bible says. Ye have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You know, there's a lot of people live like that. But I say in you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. If any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Let me read that again. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. This makes easy preaching, but I want you to know this passage of Scripture is very hard living. Somebody say amen. And to be honest with you, it's hard to live 365 days a year, 24/7, by that principle. But God wants us to do our best. Somebody say amen. I won't lie to you. This Scripture is hard for me. I don't pretend to you that this is easy. This is right down to where we're living, and it's tough living. But if it wasn't important living, Christ wouldn't have put it in there in the first place. See, I know something, and I believe you know too. This society is a society we live in today that doesn't know much about commitment. I tell you what they want today, not commitment, but convenience. They want everything. They want to, don't tell me to walk a straight Christian life. I just want it to be convenient. Don't press me to be committed. I just want it to be convenient. Hey, can I tell you why so many churches went contemporary and liberal, and they wouldn't say boo at the devil if he came before them with a pitchfork? I'll tell you why. They don't want a committed Christian, a committed church. They want a committed or a convenient church. Come in, just don't ruffle my feathers. Don't never say anything tough. Don't tell me what Christ said. Don't preach on sin. Don't get down where I'm living. But that's not reality. Amen. Am I preaching? I'll tell you what we want. We want what is called microwave Christianity. Just throw it in a microwave, get it out in 7 minutes, and go at it. I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, that's not the Christianity that our Lord taught. That's not the faith that my Christ taught. Somebody help me preach there. We want everything just handed to us. We don't want to work about nothing. Hey, I tell you what, we want to build a great church here. It's going to take work. Amen. You want to be a great musician or great singer? It takes work. You want to be a great Bible student? It takes work. Yeah. It's just not handed to you. As people look at this church and see the success of this church and say, well, must have came easy. It didn't come easy. It's been blood, sweat, and tears. It hadn't been easy. But ladies and gentlemen, Christ never said it was going to be. They hated him without a cause. Now, may I for a moment, so you can really understand this text, give you the background. This actual background, I want to give it to you, started with the Persians. And then the Romans adapted the Persian system of going a mile or an extra mile. See, they made roads. And here's how they made roads, Chad. I studied this out. When they made the roads, Jeff, they put a stone, and that's one mile. They'd go up a mile, they put another stone. And that's how they marked the roads. And by the way, Romans was very efficient in building roads. And you've heard the old saying, all roads lead to Rome. Now, here's what would happen. Now, you're talking about under the Roman system. This is important that you hear that. The Jews were under the Roman system. And Jesus, predominantly right here, was talking to the Jewish people. They were under the Roman system. So here's what could happen. A Roman soldier, his backpack, weighed 50 to 70 pounds, if you've done this study. And here's what they would do. They would come walking down the road, and if they saw a Jewish man, by Roman law, he would go out and put the pack on that Jewish person and make him walk a mile. And then he had to walk the mile back carrying his pack. Are y'all with me? That was Jewish law. The Jews were so antagonized by it and so aggravated about it and so frustrated about it. Here's what many Jews would do. They would walk that mile, lay that pack down, spit on it. Because they detested being under that kind of rule. And you know what Jesus said? I'll tell you what I want you to do. I know the Romans are commanding you to go 1 mile, but I want you to do this. I want you to go 2. You say, preacher, 2? I mean, not go just 1 mile with that 70-pound pack, but go a 2nd mile. You say, well, that seems unfair. But I want you to know, our Lord, if you've ever met Jesus and you know Jesus, you'll want to do what Jesus says. Amen. Am I preaching? See, I tell you what most of us want to do. We just want to do our duty. Am I preaching? Just what I'm supposed to. Don't ask me to go beyond my duty. But I want you to know something tonight. The Lord would never ask us to do something he didn't do himself. You said, how did he set the example? I'll tell you what he did. He looked down. He came down. He laid down his life. If you're here in a sinner tonight, he died for you. Went all the way for you. One passage of scripture about the Garden of Eden or the Garden of Gethsemane, you know what it says? It really hit me. You know what it says? He went a little further.
Amen, preacher. Yes, sir.
You know what we do, Brother Dave? This is my limit. This is as far as I'm going in my Christianity. I will not succumb to go any farther than just my duty. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you'll never realize the abundant, wonderful Christian life until you understand what going beyond your duty really means. Will you do something for me just a moment? Turn to Luke 17. I'll read a passage and come back to Matthew 5. If you're there, when you get there, say amen. Luke 17, 7. Are you there? And which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and set to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready withal, I may sup and gird thyself and serve me till I've eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he think that that servant, because he did the things that were commanded him, I trow not, or I think not. So likewise ye, when you have done all those things which are commanded you, you say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was just our, or was our duty. You know what he calls our duty? Unprofitable service. Hey, I believe Christ went all the way for us, and we need to go a 2nd mile for him. That's strong preaching, isn't it? I told you when I started this, it was kind of tough for me. You said, well, preacher, I come to church. Well, that's just your duty. Preacher, I read my Bible. That's your duty. Preacher, I give a tithe. Well, that's your duty. Preacher, I pray. Well, that's your duty. The Bible said, whatsoever you do, do for the glory of God. I beseech you, brother, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable unto God. I tell you what, we do things just as a reasonable service. Now, I'm going to tell you a little story. How many people are near my age, about in the 68 to 75 range? Raise your hand. You were around when the Vietnam War was, weren't you? And some of you folks were younger during the Vietnam War. I read a story that you had that impacted me. How many's read a story that ever impacted you? It's about the Vietnam War. There's a man in the Vietnam War, his name was William H. Pitchburger. Anybody here heard of him? No one? No one? They wrote a movie about him. Nobody? Well, can I tell you about him? He told his mom and dad he wanted to go into the Green Berets. And they talked him out of it because they said it would be too dangerous for him to go. So they asked him and begged him to go to the Air Force. So when he went into the Air Force, he went in what is called pararescue jumpers. Anybody heard of that? They were called PJs. And here's what they would do. This is when the helicopters became prominent in war. When a place got into heated combat, they would try to rescue those people that were getting shot and killed by those pararescue jumpers. It was said about PJ. And by the way, kids, he won the Congressional Medal of Honor, and they presented to him after he was dead in 1990s. It said about him he went 100 missions. But he came to one mission, and they came to a place that was hot. There was 130 GIs there. And of that 130 GIs, 100 of us wounded or killed. And his job was to let a basket down, and if they could get in it, to get in and pull them up. But Pitts said this, I want to go down. So he went down into literal burning hell, into a basket. They said, well, just get one or two and get out of there or you're going to get killed. He went down there in the morning and they were shot. And he went and got and cut wood down and made splints, carried them over his shoulder, put them in the basket, and they went up. He did that from morning all the way to night. He literally took 75 or 100 people out of that pits of fire. There was 500 Vietnamese people with rifles coming at him. And he was there with only 10 or 20 people left. And he took his rifle and started defending those folks. And he shot 5 times in the chest, 1 time in the head. They told him not to even go down the first place. If you go, just go and get a couple. But I'll tell you what Wins Pitchburger done. He went the extra mile. How many of y'all love 1 John or John 3:16? Raise your hand. But you know what? I equally love 1 John 3:16. Hereby receive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our life for the brethren. Somebody help me preach. You know what God wants us to do? He don't want us just to go 1 mile. He wants us to go an extra mile. That's what I'm preaching on tonight. Going an extra mile. Are you an extra mile Christian? Are you a Christian that could say, hey, he goes beyond? Or are you just one that says, well, I'm going to show up on a... You know, there's a lot of people in our church don't even come on Sunday night. God help us. How long are they going to use the pandemic? Joe Biden said it was over. I don't believe anything he says, but they said it was over. How long are they going to stay on the live stream? I think it's good for shut-ins. I think it's good for people that can't come. But ladies and gentlemen, the duty of a Christian is to be in the house of God when they're supposed to be. Amen. And we need to quit making excuses for people. They lost their vision. They don't pay tithes. They don't do much. Oh, they'll watch live stream. And if you need to be on live stream, God bless you tonight. There's the Brenda Cooks in the world, and there's others in our church that needs it. But there's some people that needs to be back in the house of God, getting close to God again. Amen. Now, three things and I'm finished. Am I doing all right? Are you a second mile Christian? Well, let me give you three things. I told you this, but this is rough on me. Number one, we need to be second mile Christians when it comes to our family. By the way, being married is more than just having the ring on your finger. Amen. You know what we need? We need some marriages that go the second mile. I tell you what, John Smith's been through a rough year. I wouldn't be alive today if it wasn't for my staff, but most of all, my wife, who stayed by my side, and my children. They went to second mile. It hadn't been always pretty in the last year. But thank God for me. You know, I had a sister-in-law that said, my dad went through a lot and said, if her husband ever did what might happen to my dad, she said she'd dump him. That's what's happening. You know why marriage is not strong? We don't have second male marriages. See, we need to love our wives as Christ loved the church. Amen. You say, well, marriage is tough. Hey, go to the second male. Can you be a little patient with your wife? I'm going to be honest with you. I started to leave this point out because I failed so miserably. By the way, we need to be loyal to our spouses. Love them. Care for them. That's God's choice for us. I saw it's so convenient today to just quit. There's a lot of homes. Instead of being homes, they're little hells. Am I preaching? And by the way, young people, I'm not just talking about mom and dad going to second mile for each other. I'm talking about you. What about some of you when your mom and dad tells you it's your duty to go out and take out the trash and all you do is act like a little heathen and say, mm, 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 mm. Am I preaching? We need kids that are second mile Christians. And I want you to know we have some in this church. I won't name them because I don't want to upset somebody else, but we got some second mile Christian kids and teenagers in this church, and I'm proud of them. Hey, by the way, you ought never sass your mom or your dad.
Amen.
You ought never to be disrespectful. Every once in a while, dad needs a call, mom needs a call. Every once in a while, they need a prayer. They don't want to be forgotten. Boy, I'm preaching them. I look at Nancy and Randy. I tell you, you're a second mile Christian. I remember when he was laying on his deathbed. Didn't give you no chance, buddy. But I was out there in that room with her several times. She was praying. She didn't give up faith. She didn't stop. She prayed you out of that place. And I know some of our folks, your families. I thank you, Brother Sean, your wife. Wife's ill. And I thank God for how far you went with her. By the way, we need to be second mile Christians in our home.
Amen.
What's happened to commitment in the home? I tell you what we want. We want convenience. I tell you what. Being married's not easy. Living with somebody's not easy. God never said it was. But I want to tell you what, the best thing every family in this room can do is to go a second mile. Somebody help me preach. That's stout, isn't it? I love my kids. I love my grandbaby. I actually love her better than I do my kids, but that's okay. It's another thing. But when Julie says, I need you, I can't always do it, but I try to be there for her. Brooke needs to get the piano. They've been doing more of it since I got hurt than they used to. old daddy, granddaddy go? You say, why? Because I want to go a second mile. Hey, I'm glad all of both of them saved. I'm glad both of them's on their way to heaven. Somebody help me preach.
Amen.
Just a lot of homes, there's no commitment at all in them. They're worldly and wicked. And we need to pray for some men and women that are right now going through it in their marriage. That they had the grit and the strength just to go a second mile. While I'm preaching this, it's not easy to do this, but I'm going to preach it. It's not easy to forgive, but we need to forgive. And by the way, man, I'll just preach you and won't preach you, ladies. Sometimes we need to say we're sorry. I know we're a bunch of macho people, but every once in a while we are a mess, and we need to say we're sorry. I'm preaching to me tonight. See, we need to be second mile Christians, first of all, in our family. I want to say this. Family's more important than the church, more important than the preacher, more important than anything. But I want you to know something. I'll never be concerned about putting your wife and your family first. Because if you put your Lord first, that's the first thing. You'll put your family first, then you'll want them to be where the Lord wants them to be, right in the house of God. See, get the order right. God first, family second, and the church last. Number two, this is not preach much, but I thought I'd just give it a whirl. You need to be faithful and go a second mile when it comes to your finances. You know, the Bible says that we are God's steward over our finances. Now, let me tell you what a first mile Christian is. It's a person that only pays their tithe. Now, I don't want to be harsh tonight, but you're not even a first mile Christian if you don't pay your tithe. That is your duty. Every church member ought to pay their tithe. But the New Testament goes beyond that. Because, see, it goes into mission giving. See, that's going a second mile, keeping people out of hell. It goes into building buildings. That's a second mile giving. It goes into when we bring people in here that are hurting, taking up an offering for somebody that's hurting. That's a second mile giver. I heard Dr. Gibbs said this. He scared me half to death when he said this. He made this statement. He said, you know, when you get into building programs and you're trying to raise money, he said that the money's here. Just our problem is we got our claws in it. We won't let go. Am I preaching? It doesn't bother me at all. I'm thrilled to give a second mile gift to help a missionary. How many church members are happy we're supporting 173 missionaries? Giving over $350,000 to missions. Went into a Romanian trip this last year and built those two safe houses, getting ready to go to Grenada next summer and then the following summer to back to the reservation. You said, why are you doing this? Because I want to get more missionaries. I want people to give so we can do more. I'm finished. Not only do we need to go second mile with our family, our finances, but really we need to go second mile in our faithfulness. Moreover, it is required in a steward that he may be found faithful. One of these days, judgment seat, he'll say to some of us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to say some practical applications. I believe if you're employed somewhere, you ought to be a faithful employee. How many believe that? You ought to do your best. You say, well, I don't want them to call me a company man. You ought to give your best. Because I want you to know there's scripture for that. And if you don't do your best, it's going to reflect Christ. What's quiet in here? Y'all work for people, work for companies where people are just there. They didn't do nothing. And by the way, we don't preach this much, but we need to be faithful to church. What's happened to us? Why is it? Somebody, I need some counseling. Why is it that you can see people that go to this church in Walmart and Kmart, Walmart and Kroger's and out and doing everything? Some of them ain't been back in church for 2.5 years. There's something deeply wrong. See, I want you to know we need Sunday morning and we need Sunday night and we need Wednesday night. And by the way, if you're a member of the choir, you need to be in the choir. Practicing. Hey, you're not singing for John Smith, you're singing for the King. I've always loved your singing. You're the number one songwriter in America to me. But I want you to know something about you. When you sing, you put every ounce of whatever 5 foot you are into that singing. And I love to hear you sing, but I even like watching you. How many believe Christ deserves the best? How many believe he's worthy? He looked down, came down, laid his life down. He loves us. And always wanting us to is go a second mile. Can I read a second mile passage and then dismiss? Will you turn to Romans 12 and 10 through 21? I'll be done. And this is second mile Christianity. This is applying in the New Testament what was said in Matthew. Here it is. Romans 12:10. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one to another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense no man evil for evil, but provide things honest in the sight of all men. And if it is possible, as much life in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it's written, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Therefore, if thine enemies hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. It's out in California. It really was an eye-opener for me. I've never been really entrenched into a large place like that, a place of such decadence. We drove down into L.A. and that rich. There was homeless people everywhere on the main thoroughfares, and over bridges. I mean, my eyes never seen them. And you know, sometimes we can get nauseated at that kind of lifestyle. But I want you to know something. God put this in my heart. Every one of those people need Jesus. The wicked homosexual needs Jesus. Those transgender guys, they need Jesus. Those people that's lost everything, they need Jesus. They need somebody who'll go a second mile. Somebody will say, I love them. Just tonight, I know you're here tonight, so you've done your duty. Sure you have. But are you going a second mile? You going a second mile with your family? I really think I failed at that a little bit when I first started pastoring here, because it was Tate Valley 24/7. My kids grew up just mom taking care of them. I've repented of that 100 times. I've tried to teach my staff pastor to have time with your family. Some of the people I gave the most to mistreated me the most. Your family needs you. By the way, you need to go second mile in your finances. And kids, I want to tell y'all something. Work real hard Wednesday night. Do your best to be there. Bring a friend. Your pastor's going to pay for the meal. Church not paying for them. Take care of this. We're going to give your friends a gift. I just want to go second mile with y'all because I see so much potential in you. I love you. I wonder how many in your heart tonight will say, I'm glad I'm saved. But I want to do just more than my duty. I want to go a second mile. I want God to use me in ways that I never thought could happen. Let's stand. If God spoke to you tonight, I'm not going to give no hard invitation. The word of God ought to spoke to you. If you want to go a second mile with your family, and you ought to bring them to the altar. Your finances, your faithfulness. Why don't a bunch of us come around this altar and just say, I want God to help us. Our Father, touch this invitation. Help us, God, to go a second mile. Bless Brother Chad as he comes and finishes the invitation. In Jesus' name. Are you coming?